lodging tax related?
Correct. Just if you add up what a short-term rental host pays, could you just remind us what which of those taxes are flat fees and which are percentages?
So everything is a percentage.
Excuse me. Which of those fees are flat fees and which are percentages?
Okay, so the only flat fee would be the per night fee that I'm aware of. So that's the what we're proposing to do today. Everything else is a percentage base. So the transient lodging tax, 6% for the city, 5.5% for the county, 1.3 for the state, 13.3 all in. That's all percentages. Those are all transient lodging taxes. And then so the only other switch here today would be the inclusion of the TID, which most hotels pay. That's an additional 2%, not a transient lodging tax. It's computed at a different base. So that brings the average hotel up to 15.3%, and that's what they're paying today. That's what short-term rentals, and so short-term rentals would be at 18.9% all in if the $4 and the TID were set up in that environment.
All right, thank you. So I want to go back to... So we've had some people testify about the, in essence, the thaw breaking because of the outcome of the lawsuit and the charter change on HomeAway. I had the great pleasure of being the council sponsor of the ballot measure that changed the charter to clarify that we could collect a certain tax. And I also was involved in guiding the legal team in trying to resolve a host of legal questions which were raised. And that went on for years. And my recollection, Thomas, is nothing in that litigation prevented anyone else in the industry from following the law.
That's right.
That's correct.
And the fact that we're at 80% compliance, I know that some gentleman earlier volunteered to help us, and we need all the help we can get. It is challenging when the platforms will not give us certain data, and as a practical matter, we don't have the staff to go around just trying to do intelligence gathering. So, we have faced massive. You had your chance. We have faced massive resistance to our regulations. Now, I'm not saying that to disparage anyone who's here. I get the sense that most of the people that were here today are, in fact, licensed. And I hopefully so, because they came forward and talked about their business proudly. I hope they have done the right thing in getting a business license and doing the modest minimum that we require around life safety. But we're still at about 80% non-compliance. And nothing prevented people from complying with the law. The litigation dragged it out, and we had every argument thrown at us. Federal preemption, internet safety, internet this and that. It was a lawyer's protection racket in litigating, but it was ultimately designed to prevent the city from ensuring that a guest was safe. Let me just say that again. It was ultimately designed to prevent us from establishing that a guest was safe when they occupied a unit in our city, which I think is unconscionable. Now, do we know what the average cost of a short-term rental is in the city of Portland?
The average cost in terms of night per stay?
Correct.
Dollars per stay? It's $111 at our last computation.
That's the average?
That's the average, right.
And how do we know that?
We know that because that's a percentage that was imputed based on actual remittances from large platforms divided by the nights or units. Mm-hmm. So okay. It's a fairly accurate computation based on real data.
Based on the data to the best of our knowledge, yes.
Yeah, and we've also seen some of the larger data scraping websites like Airbnb, Inside Airbnb are currently showing 119, and I understand there's been some rebuttal as to the quality of their data, but it does give us some comfort that we're seeing numbers that are similar to the ones that we computed actually out there in other places.
So we heard a lot of testimony from people today that are renting out rooms in their homes at $50 or $60. So that would be that segment of the market is about 50% of the average rate.
I don't know what the distribution is. I don't know what we don't have data on, for example, what the median is.
I
can't speak to that. It's plausible.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So I think what I would add there, though, is that, you know, one of the pieces of data that was presented was a chart that showed kind of the percentage burden on a rental that was $40 or $80 a night. And while those percentages appear to be roughly correct, it's just important to remember that does not represent what's typical out there. The average is 111, so the actual burden is coming in under 20%. And again, there are other jurisdictions that are above that percentage.
Mayor, I'd like to offer a friendly amendment.
Commissioner Fish.
It seems to me that one of the questions that has underlied a lot of the testimony we've had today is, what is going to be the impact of this additional fee on the industry, and will it have a negative impact on people coming to the city? Will it have a negative impact on some of the small business owners who use this to supplement their income and the like? And other questions were posed. I'd like to offer a friendly amendment that Thomas Lanham and his department would report back to us at the end of year one with a report on the amount of money collected, whatever actual evidence and not just anecdotal evidence they have of the impact on the marketplace. And I would hope that as in the preparation of a brief report to council that you talk to, for example, the industry reps that were here today, so we get a sense. If there's any fine-tuning that we need to do to this, it seems to me we should have some good data at the end of year one. So you keep waving at us.
I will second that, Commissioner Fish.
Yes, there's one point that there's a slight misconception. You keep saying there's 80% of people who are not registered, but Airbnb still remits all the taxes to the city of Portland, even for those 80% who are not registered.
Right, but we don't know who they are, and we don't know whether the units are safe.
You are getting the money, though.
Yes, sir, but we don't know who they are, and we don't know whether the units are safe. And that at the end of the day, I hope you appreciate that if someone were to die visiting our city in an unsafe unit, it would be a very dark day for this industry that has fought us tooth and nail in terms of giving us the most basic information about the location of these units. I hope you understand what that would mean for our city, and God help us if that happens.
Colleagues, any further questions of staff? Commissioner Udaly?
I don't have questions, just some comments.
Commissioner Udaly.
Okay, thank you. I've been up here scribbling notes. I want you to know that I have actually been listening to all the testimony and writing down my thoughts, not writing my memoirs. I'll have to wait till I'm out of office to do that. First, I want to thank everyone who testified today. This is obviously a somewhat heated and emotional conversation. I want to thank Debbie. I don't think I got her last name quite right. Herdert? Okay. For her thoughtful testimony and reasonable request, I wanted to ask if she'd please submit those to my office because I didn't quite catch everything as it rushed by. I want to thank my chief of staff, Marshall Runkle, for meeting with host to host twice. Although I did not respond to individual emails, I want you to know that my staff has been connecting with your advocacy group and relaying your concerns to me. And I'm really sorry that you didn't feel adequately informed or engaged in this process. Even if imposing a short-term rental fee is right and reasonable, I know it doesn't feel good to have something forced on you. I don't know if any of you are business owners and remember the street fee tax debacle, but that was an alarming experience for me as a small business owner to have the city considering imposing a considerable fee on small businesses with really very little input or understanding from those businesses. So I just... Although I am an advocate for tenants and I have serious issues with short-term rental platforms and their practices, I want to make it clear that my issue is not with hosts who are in compliance with our rules. I'm sorry that you feel this is punitive. I know there are many scenarios where hosts are renting out rooms that would never have been in our rental inventory. I have many friends, believe it or not, who rent out rooms on short-term rentals, and there are, you know, many, many scenarios where this income is simply helping people keep stay in their homes, and I appreciate that. Our intent is not punitive. It's about capturing dollars from tourism to help offset the impact of the industry overall. And there really is no denying that short-term rental platforms are part of this crisis that we're facing. They're not all of it. I don't even think they're half of it. But I do think it's significant, and it's reasonable for us as a city to look at how we can offset that. I will say that after listening to all the testimony today, I'm not confident that we've hit the right number. I'm interested in the conversation of a percentage versus a flat fee, and I really welcome your feedback in the next week. Or when is this coming back? Is it
next week, yet? I believe.
In the next week. So please do contact my office and everyone's offices. I want to say we also appreciate what legal operators are contributing to our city. We have largely built our brand at the Portland brand on our arts and culture community, and perhaps most notably in recent years, our food scene. And one of the reasons so many small, creative, innovative businesses have been able to thrive here was the relative affordability and livability of Portland compared to other West Coast cities. And that's certainly part of my story. You can survive as a tiny, independent bookseller like I did in most major cities. That is no longer the case. And we are seeing restaurants, I'm not going to name any names, but renowned restaurants in our cities and retailers who are struggling to staff their businesses because their workers cannot afford to live here. So when we talk about restaurants, imposing some kind of tax or fee on restaurants, I think we have to be really careful with that conversation right around now. I'm very concerned that the things that make Portland such an appealing city and why it's such a popular destination for tourism are going to disappear if we don't get a handle on this housing crisis, which we're now in the eighth year of. So just summing everything up, we know that many hosts are relying on short-term rental income to stay in their homes. We know that around 30% of homeowners in Portland are also cost-burdened by housing costs, which is a really alarming statistic. And if you add that to the 50% of renters who are cost-burdened, that's around 40% of people who live in Portland who are spending more than we generally think they should on housing. And that is really spells disaster for our local economy and for our quality of life. So I just want to say that I feel like we're all in this together. I hope we can return to this conversation a little with a little more calm and friendliness. I really want to hit the right number for you and for our visitors. But I'm getting thumbs up, which is nice because we got lots of thumbs down today. I don't think we can completely abandon this possible revenue stream, but I'm looking forward to hearing more from you guys.
Mayor.
Commissioner Fish.
So we're about to vote on some amendments, and then this thing goes to a second hearing next week. And if there is an appetite by the council to modify the $4 provision to take it from a flat fee to a percentage, that can be raised up until next week. So just so people understand sort of, you're watching at home and you're trying to figure out how this procedurally plays out. There was a woman who testified earlier today, and I'm trying to see if she's still here, who was hesitant to come testify, but about halfway to the table she said, well, I don't know whether this is a sham, but I guess I'll go ahead and testify. I hope people don't feel these hearings are shams. What I experience as a member of this council is very similar to what happened today. A lot of people came forward with thoughtful testimony. Council had questions and some pushback and some concerns. Mayor made put a large issue on the table about how we confer with people, how we consult with people. I'll just give you an example. I get in the mail weekly a notice from the Planning and Sustainability Commission. It's a little folded document that tells me about things going on in my neighborhood. I confess I don't spend as much time reading them as I should. And that may not be the best way to communicate with me because I've got, you know, a 14-year-old at home and a working spouse, and we're always sort of just running ragged. But, I mean, technically I'm getting notice, but I won't tell you that I always open it and know that they're proposing something in my neighborhood that might freak me out if I actually read it. So we're talking about big questions. We're also talking about big issues about how we deal with the housing crisis and how do we share the burden. And we'll have that conversation later this fall about a metro housing bond. But we're having this collectively about how we deal with a situation that everyone in this room agrees is morally unacceptable. If you really want to flip this hearing around to what we all agree on, I heard very broad agreement that we need to do something. The question is, who bears what cost and how fair is that? And that's fair. And I think it was a very important for Commissioner Udaly to point out that this is not intended to be a punitive conversation. And any new fee or tax can be viewed as punitive by nature. But the question really is, what can we all do collectively and individually to address this crisis? I am very proud of the fact that we took 100% of the revenues from short-term rentals and instead of putting them in the general fund where they could have been spent for any purpose, we put them in the housing investment fund. Now, for purposes of what we do with tax receipts, it is for many of you, form over substance. It's still being spent by government. But we said we're going to use this money for a very special purpose, which is to address a housing crisis. And I hope you share some pride that the revenues from your industry is actually funding that. Now we're talking about whether an additional fee can help us continue to address a very acute problem in our community. I think this has been a very thoughtful conversation. I'm ready to vote on the amendments. I've learned a lot, but I hope that going forward, even if you disagree with the outcome when we bring this up for a vote next week, I hope you continue to stay engaged as both mom-and-pop operators and as industry, association members, in how we should get it right. Because the thing that still just burns me up, and it does not apparently apply to the majority of people here, is that 80% of our units are not currently in compliance with the law. And it's embarrassing for me to be in government and to have a statistic like that, because it says we're being very cavalier with people that are visiting our community and staying in essentially unregulated units. And none of us here endorse that, I hope. And we're doing our level best to fix that, but we've had every legal roadblock thrown in our way, and I could spend an afternoon recounting the highlights or lowlights of that. But I appreciate this conversation, Mayor. I think it's been very productive. I look forward to now voting on the amendments and then continuing the conversation with our colleagues between now and next week when this comes back for a vote.
Very good. Call it, Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. I'm struck by the fact that we did not hear from the platform companies, which is a remarkable change from when we first approved allowing these companies to operate in Portland. And I'm very impressed with the testimony on very short notice that we got from the hosts yourselves. I'm very impressed with host to host. Just in a few months, 159 hosts joining that. As still a dues-paying union member and a proud survivor of the OHSU strike, I know that when regular people stick together, you can make a difference with large corporations. And so I would like to ask the sponsors, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner Fish, if you would be willing to meet with representatives from host to host over the course of the next week to discuss the concept of changing from a fee to a percentage.
As long as you like early breakfasts, I'm sure we can
fit
it in.
We're able to jump to it. And I'm also struck by the fact that we heard from Travel Portland that they were willing to have the conversation with the small hoteliers about adding the tourist improvement district fee to the hotels less than 50. Commissioner Saltzman and I are now proposing to just do that. Would you also please meet with Travel Portland and representatives of the small hoteliers so that we can find out, is there a particular reason that we should not do that?
Now we're going into late night.
Right.
Who's
Commissioner,
up for
Commissioner
comedy?
Fritz, if you
we're
continue,
we're Sulphites in here. Mayor, we're going to go to comedy.
I think there's a fair bargain here. If Commissioner there Fritz is. Continues to respond to all the emails individually, you and I will have the time to have those two meetings.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Commissioner, because Airbnb helpfully set up a platform where hundreds of people could send us the exact same message. And I cannot tell you how discouraging it is as somebody who tries to respond to community members to read the same darn thing over and over and over and over. And indeed, I can't find the input from people who have taken the time. I was glad that I was able to see from Rose and Olivia and Anne and others. But it's really difficult when you're sifting through to see if did anybody add something at the end of that message. So in the future, two sentences of your own thoughts are so much more helpful to me than reading the same thing, which, trust me, I could quote it verbatim at this point, and I think that is not a good thing. So engage as the people that you are. This testimony has been really helpful, and what I'm interested in, to come back by next week, is what's fair? What's going to put the hosts at a competitive disadvantage? In relation to the hotels in particular, we can't do anything about whether Tiger, Lakers We Go, and others would add this fee. Despite the disparaging remarks I made about my neighbourhood, it is actually still a very nice place to be, so I hope that that particular business will continue to and we need to recognise that there will be some impacts that we need to take into account as we're making this decision. So thank you very much to everybody for participating.
Great. And colleagues, I'm sorry, but I'd like to move to the vote. We're way behind schedule. We've had people waiting very, very patiently for other issues. So unless there's just a burning issue, I would like to call the roll on the First Amendment that I offered up that clarifies that the funds would go into the Housing Investment Fund if the ordinance itself is adopted. Any further questions on that issue? Please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is adopted, and to be clear, that goes to item 626, as I believe all three amendments do, unless somebody corrects.
I think mine's 627, actually.
Mm-hmm. Dan's, that includes the boutique hotels, yes, that's correct. Yes, that's correct, legal counsel. Dan's would be 627. Very good. Please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
And this does address part of the issue with the disparities and the competitive disadvantage. Thank you very much, Commissioner. Moving that. Aye.
Wheeler?
Yes. Aye. The amendment's adopted. Next item is Commissioner Fish asking the Bureau to come back with quality data on the impact of the fee, and I assume that is 2626. Is that correct? Correct. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Just to be clear, there may be a further amendment next week, so we're not saying by passing this on to second reading that it's going to stay exactly the way it is. And thank you again for showing up. Aye.
Wheeler.
I have thoroughly enjoyed this session. I wasn't sure where it was going to land, but I appreciated the number of people who showed up. I appreciated the thoroughness of the testimony. I appreciated hearing the personal stories that people brought to the table. I feel like I'm leaving with a deeper understanding of the nuances of an industry that I don't personally participate in nearly the same degree, obviously, as you as hosts. I think we raised some good issues here. I appreciate the amendments that I think have strengthened the core ordinances. So I'm just really pleased by this, and I feel that sort of the tension and maybe even the negativity that I sensed in the room earlier, it seems like it's gone, and I feel like we're leaving as a community on a positive note. So this, to me, is already a very good day. I vote aye. The amendment is adopted. So, colleagues, item 626, this is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading as amended. Item 627, this is also a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It also moves to second reading as amended. Colleagues, before we take a two-minute break, which I desperately need, I want to refer item 629 back to the mayor's office. Could you read item 629?